Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for this time that we have together. If you are a new listener, we welcome you to the broadcast. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. And before coming on the air, I was asking the Lord, what would He have for His people? And He's given me a message that I think is very important and critical for the hour and time in which we're living. But also, it's been a while since I've actually taken time to pray on the broadcast, and I'd like to do that right now for you. Father, we come to You in the power of agreeing prayer. Lord, You see those who have been struggling with burdens. Lord, a great many have been troubled with loved ones, the burden for loved ones, for family that once served God, knew the way of the Lord, but they've gone off in their own direction, and Lord, their hearts are heavy. So Father, we know You're married to the backslider. The Father waits for that prodigal son to return and welcomes him with open arms as You shared in Your Word. And so, Father, we're just taking authority over the work of the enemy and the lives of those family members, those children, those relations, Father, that have been wearied by the world and have been drawn off into the cares and troubles of life. Father, we ask You to bring them back. We break the hold of Satan in their lives. And Father, I pray for every listener right now that You will just minister to them. I rebuke discouragement, depression, sickness in their body. Lord, by the stripes of Jesus, we were already healed. And so, Father, I thank You for touching them right now from the crown of their heads to the very sole of their feet, that it is Your will for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And Father, I ask You to minister circumstantially for financial needs, that You would provide employment, that You would undertake in this job's employment situation, these difficulties on the job, that You will just rebuke the work of the enemy. And I pray for favor and the shield of the Lord round about them, that they can carry on and be the testimony that You would have them to be. Father, I pronounce those abundant blessings You've promised, that we would have everything that we needed. You've given us, Lord, everything that pertains to life and godliness. It is Your will to meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory, and Your riches and glory are endless, Lord. So, Father, we thank You for ministering body, soul, and spirit, circumstantially and in the lives of loved ones, to everyone who's having a need in their lives right now, and are in agreement as we pray together, asking this in the name, the precious name above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. For the Lord would say, my beloved, does not my word invite you to come and to buy milk and honey without money, no price? Beloved, I'm not challenging you to fevered service. No, I'm inviting you to rest in Me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I would draw you into sweet fellowship and contemplative communion with Me. In such a way, beloved, is your soul made strong, your heart is made pure, and your mind is refreshed. As you yield to Me, I will enable you to walk in the Spirit more and more. I will endue you with my anointing that will be so dynamic that you will serve Me before you even have time to think and put forth the effort to do so. great shall be the moving of my Spirit in your life, my beloved. Rejoice, for the half has not yet been told, says your God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you for the moving of your Spirit. We praise you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit that you've given to every believer. Amen and amen. In fact, that's basically who I'm going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about Jesus' first miracle, reading a selection from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. His first miracle, but he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So if it's been a while since you've read that, let's just read it together. John chapter 2. Verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. They had an invitation. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Well, this is a very serious situation for a wedding party to run out of wine. And Jesus saith unto her in verse 4, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And then in verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, talk about holy confidence, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And obviously, he sought the Father, and the Lord, his Father, said, you know, he never did anything that was outside of his Father's will. So this was the beginning of the miraculous life and ministry that he began publicly. Verse 6 says, and there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. He tasted it, of course. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the best wine, the good wine, until now. And the final verse I'll share, this beginning, verse 11, the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, historically, we should comment that Jewish weddings were a very festive occasion. Much planning was involved with both of the families, for the groom and for the bride. It was a great celebration, something that was so looked forward to. There were great pains taken for aesthetics. Dress was important. There was an expectation, just naturally, of overflowing abundant food and wine. It was a very lavish celebration, an important, critically important celebration in the life of two families, and especially, of course, the bride and groom. It lasted an entire week. It was a party, morning till night. And there was great shame involved to the host if these standards were not met. And so Jesus came as a guest, as we've just read. And we see, because they did, it was the worst possible thing could have happened. They ran out of wine. And this was the first miracle that he performed. And as we look at it, it was really completely different from every other work or miracle that Jesus performed. Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61, standing in the synagogue in Luke the 4th chapter, verse 18, that he preached the gospel to the poor, there was deliverance to the captives, he was to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. His ministry, his public ministry, was filled with miraculous healings. The sick were delivered, the lepers were cleansed, the dead were raised. But this didn't involve anything like that. There were no demons cast out. The dead weren't raised. Why did he do it? Well, obviously, it doesn't say in Scripture, but we know that everything he did, he consulted his Father. he sought the Father's will. So obviously he did that after his mother made this request. Did he do it out of social pressure? Well, knowing the life of Jesus and his character, that was not likely. Was he just being a good Jewish boy, obeying his mama? Well, no, it wasn't just protocol or an obedience of the son to a mother, but he was responding to Mary's faith. And obviously, having prayed and sought his father was giving him the go-ahead. Because Mary said to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Could we be like that? Could we, if the Lord speaks something to our hearts, do we just sort of brush it off and think, well, you know, that wasn't the Lord, or we think, oh yeah, that's a good idea, and then we just sort of forget about it? It just sort of slips through the cracks with the busyness of life. But we see that it's the small things, it's the what would sometimes appear to be the insignificant things that are important in our relationship with the Lord. Obviously, there was a transitioning in their relationship between mother and son. At that point, he was no longer just the son of Joseph and of Mary. He wasn't a carpenter's son working in his father's shop, but he began the purpose of his ministry. And so what I'd like to suggest is what was taking place in this first miracle is a prophetic demonstration of what God is doing right now in this hour. Well, I'm glancing at the clock and my time is quickly drawing to an end, and we'll pick up on tomorrow's broadcast and examine this very interesting episode in the life of Jesus and find out what happened. So I thank you for joining me, and also, as I felt in the Spirit, some are really, you know, as I've read the prayer requests that have been coming in, God's people are being challenged and battled as never before, especially in physical areas. There's just such warfare going on. And so even there may be something you're not able to confide with another. Just know that I don't share needs with anyone else. I pray and answer the mail by myself, and will send back whatever God gives to be a blessing to your heart. So thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.